Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 26th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 26, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together to one another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons, and for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold. And thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Wow. So there's a very ornate set of instructions that are given here for a very ornate tabernacle. And there are perhaps a few things we should talk about first. The first is, what is the word selvage? Selvage. It means the edge or the extremity of a piece of material. The edge or extremity of it. Sometimes it's called the hem, but only because the hem falls on the edge or extremity. Okay, so selvage. Some of you ladies already knew that. I had to look it up. And then there's this other word, tatch, or tatches. Well, that's perhaps a word we don't use much anymore, but we do use a form of it whenever we say the word attach. Attach. Because the word tatch is an Old English word that means either a hook or a stay, a snap, some way to join two pieces of material together, to attach them. So that's why we have the word tatches in here. It's a particular Hebrew word that it really doesn't mean tack, although tack is a way to attach, but it's much more general than that. Hooks or stays, really, is how it ought to be understood. So I don't know if you've ever realized this before through your reading of Exodus chapter 26, but did you recognize, first of all, that the tabernacle is made of several different pieces of construction? The first construction, if we could maybe start not exactly where the writer starts here, where Moses starts, but maybe from the largest pieces of the construction, the foundational aspects of it. There were boards, and they formed the entirety of the tent. 10 by 10 cubits inside the holy place, and 10 by 20 cubits outside the holy place. These boards stood up, and they had sockets, and they were put together by tenons. Now, tenon, that's a word I know, having studied woodworking in the past. So there were little holes that were drilled in the boards, and then little sockets of silver put in there so that the board itself would not wear out. And so they were all joined together, if you will, to form the walls of this building. But there was no ceiling to the building. Instead of a ceiling, it had fine linen covering. And we remember that fine linen from when we were studying the clothing of Aaron the priest. That fine linen, that was the lightest, airiest, and most luxuriant material that they possessed in that day. And so there were these posts that were placed to hold up the heavy curtain. They were tied to the boards. And over the top of it all went this very light and airy, this luxuriant covering that was finely stitched, that had cherubim and gold and blue and purple and all kinds of luxuriant things, speaking of the majesty of God, his holiness, that he is surrounded by cherubim because this was indeed the place where God had chosen to set his name, the place where he would manifest his presence. Now, upon the top of that, there was another set of covering that went over that, and that was goat's hair. It was a covering of goat hair. And goat hair, because it was particularly durable. But I don't know if you noticed the sizing of all of these things. It took a lot of goats and a lot of stitching of the goats together to make these curtains that were according to a very particular measurement, that had loops of blue and then tatches to hold them together. And so over the top of the tabernacle then, this light, airy, white material, luxuriant material, was this goat skin. Then on top of that, ram skins dyed red, and then on top of that, badger skins. And so the Lord is separating himself and preserving that communion that he has with his people, putting up skin upon skin upon skin as the place where he will meet with his people. Yes, indeed, I believe that is a type of the covering of Christ where God communes with his people. The other thing I want you to notice about this this building that is being built here is that we start from God's perspective. It's important to note that. Moses does not receive instructions first for the courtyard, the artifacts that were out in the courtyard, the laver, the altar, and so on. No, when the Lord begins the instruction, he begins as if he is standing there where he will commune with the people looking out from there. So we begin with the holiest place, we move out to the second holy place, and then we cover it all up together. And that there's a very, very good and strong reason for that. That is because the Lord wants us to conceive of worship, are you ready, from his perspective. Oh, if we would do that in our day. This is why we have what we call the regulative principle of worship. We are endeavoring, albeit haltingly and failingly, but we are endeavoring to view the worship of God from his perspective rather than our perspective. And so here the Lord begins the construction of the communion that the people will have with him from his perspective, because he wants them to develop his perspective on worship. And that is what? Whatsoever thing I command you, that is what you will do. Do not add to it. Do not diminish from it. Don't take other people's examples and foist them upon me. Don't throw worship at me that I haven't commanded you. Hear my perspective. It's really important. We must then understand that worship is not primarily for us. But worship, why do we call it a worship service? Because we come forth to serve the Lord. We come forth to serve him. It is primarily for him, and so it ought to be undertaken from his perspective. You remember the old example that we give about going to a restaurant, right? And that, we go to that restaurant and we say to the waiter or waitress, this is what I want to eat. I'd like the tacos, and they bring, you know, lutefisk. Some of you know what lutefisk is. And we say, that's not what I ordered. And they say, that's okay. I really love this stuff, and so will you. We don't call that good service. Right? What did the waiter fail to do? He failed to put himself in the perspective of the client. Brothers and sisters, when we come to worship the Lord, let us remember that we are serving him. We are waiting upon him. And waiting upon him, then, we must, as this chapter is laid out, develop his perspective. Developing his perspective, then, is the only way to come forth to worship the Lord. So then we have all of this intricacy, we have all of this direction, we have all of these symbolic materials and so on. And then notice what the Lord says, make sure you put it together exactly as it was showed unto you in the mount. Don't deviate from it. Don't innovate. And if I might test my Scottish accent for a moment, our Scottish Presbyterian ancestors used the term innovation as almost a naughty word in the church, because we should not innovate upon the worship of God. We should indeed hear what He has said. Thus ends the reading then of Exodus chapter 26. Let's at this point...